It is after 8 o'clock. Brooke Stratton will join us on The Breakfast Club. Looking forward to chatting to Brooke after jumping a World Championship qualifier and a long jump across the weekend in Perth. 672 was the number on the number for Brooke, so we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Also, we're going to touch base with Brett DeLidio up there at the Giants around the grounds in the AFL. But Scotty Gallen has got all the latest news in the world of sport. He's the best at it from the Herald Sun. He's back again with us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Scotland.
Morning, Daniel. Wonderful to be here.
Is it ever?
It is.
Is it ever? And Brendan Goddard just noted with great interest that you are looking really sharp in the newspaper this morning, the award-winning The Score column.
I understand. Well, it's funny. We had a
memo pre or post regime.
It was early in, so it's not quite the full extent, which I'm a bit upset about. But they told us all to get new headshots. So we all, and they said, oh, white shirt, you know, you've got to do this, that. So now there's like 15 blokes all wearing the same white shirt. It looks ridiculous.
But you're not in the group shot.
Some have
but they're
ties.
Not as sharp as you are.
No, exactly. Thanks, BJ. No, I had a little trim before that. Yeah, made sure. Yeah, anyway. I don't come up well in photos, but I appreciate that, BJ.
That's what we're all radio, mate.
Correct.
Just on Jesse Hogan, Brad Hardy has come out this morning.
What's he said?
What's Brad said?
Brad said some very interesting
that there was an incident in a car park on a Saturday night, which may involve some broken ribs for Jesse Hogan.
Oh, so that's his issues with alcohol.
Well, I saw Johnny Rolfe tweeting something about that last night, I must admit. I saw about sore ribs in the car park.
Yeah, there is apparently CCTV footage, but one of the points I'm getting to is let's not jump to conclusions yet. Let's get all the information in front of us. And
I respect one last blowout before the season starts, but Saturday before, you think you would have got it out of the way a couple of weeks earlier, BJ.
After the last game? It's always a
possibly
good pre-season game, that is.
Yeah, Jesse, because there's been photos circulating since he's been Perth, him, like Peter Bell, what was the wording? Issues with consumption of alcohol. So
Poor choices,
yeah. So it's not something we weren't aware of, but this close to the start of the season. Yeah.
But if he is battling a mental health problem,
I understand that.
Then that's probably one of the causes of that sort of behaviour. I don't know the detail involved.
But this is clearly something they would have known about for 6 months he's been there.
And yeah.
It's a major issue for Fremantle in the sense that he is their gun recruit.
And played well in the second JLT.
Yep. But he has come, they had to give up a lot to get him. He is seen as the great white hope to fix the forward line problems that they've had for quite some time. They've got a history of bringing in troubled players. Harley Bell,
still Cam McCarthy. The list. How's he travelling?
Cole,
yeah.
Yeah, so they have not got a good track record in the recruits that they've brought in. So he did come with a risk attached. Yep. The fact that 6 months into his time at Fremantle, while there hasn't been a game, for him to be not available for round one, regardless of the situation, there is a lot of pressure on that football club because,
absolutely,
you know, they've got a pretty good young midfield, but they need someone to finish off their work, and they haven't been able to find that person for a long time.
No, and Ross Lyon, your man, eventually the spotlight has to come on him. He's dodged and weaved a bit throughout his career, hasn't he, Rossi?
Throughout his career, has he?
I think he has. He got you to the promised land a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Then he exited stage left. But Freo hasn't, the last, what, 3-4 years? Rossi hasn't been at his best. And this is his team. Like, he's recruited Lobb, he's recruited.
Or has he squeezed
the life out of what he had?
No, in the sense that squeezing the best out of a list that hasn't been great in the last 3 or 4 years.
But he's been part of those list-building decisions over the last 3 or 4 years.
It's, yeah, I'd say coaches have probably less.
They should have less.
They do.
But you know Ross.
Yeah.
Do you think he has less than others to say?
In that space, I think so.
You reckon he lets the cobblers cobble?
Exactly. No, I don't think he's been heavily or as heavily involved as much as you think.
Okay.
Into the recruiting of players.
There was a massive demarcation line on the season last year that the top 12 were a pretty competitive group, and then there was a drop of 4 matches from 12th to 13th. And that's where Fremantle sat with 8 wins.
Mm-hmm.
If there to be any chance of pushing up to top 8 calculations, they need Jesse Hogan kicking 50, 60 goals. It's as simple as that. Because they've lost Lachie Neale as well, and that's just part of my point about there is that sense of responsibility, I would have thought, from Fremantle and from Jesse. Both are responsible to make sure that he's available for round one, and he's not.
And
we need to understand that it's not like it's something that he's decided to do, just go out and be a goose. Like, there's clearly something at the back end of this that is driving him, causing him to have these issues, Jesse. This is more than just making a bad decision on the gas. There's more to this story, clearly, from what we're hearing.
Yeah, there's been a build-up of issues.
Yes.
So it's easy to sit there and say he's got to make sure he's responsible enough to be ready for round one.
No, but these
things don't have a timeline.
No, I didn't say that he's got to be more responsible. That there are people that are responsible to make sure that he is available for round one.
Yeah, but you can't time how this affects
the time,
an individual.
But you can't.
How do you put
you
a timeline?
You can lock him in his house.
Yeah, you can't lock him in a room.
You can't have clinical anxiety in round one. Like, you have it round two and round three, but you can't have it round one. I mean,
basically,
that's not the way this works.
But Freo are one of those teams, we say don't put too much on round one, but they play North at home. They need a good start. Theirs is a big round one, if you know what I mean.
If you're talking purely football and expectation, this is a huge game for them.
Because it's a winnable one at home, and now you've lost your key forward. I don't know. It's tough. I might change my tip.
Well, I'm much the same.
You might. What else you got for us over there?
What's that? I'm troubled. I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
You can't have a babysitter all the time. No, is that what you're referring to? Someone watching?
No, I'm not. It's a very sensitive topic, and it's hard to articulate in these situations without being seen as being insensitive. So it's probably best I don't say anything more. But it's more that Jesse has been a troubled person for quite some time, he's been through a heap. But Fremantle knew taking Jesse on was going to be a challenge.
Yeah, they're probably a bit so more work put, than
yeah.
a lot of players.
So they've, so
they,
it's a big
they,
risk
I think
to
they,
take.
Knew, they knew that.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a big risk
that.
To take considering what they gave up to put themselves in that situation. So that's, you know, they knew what going in, buyer beware.
I agree with that, but I'm not sure you can get to a position where you can say you've just got to make sure that he's right.
I'm not saying that as such, but I'm just saying that considering what they've gone through with their gun recruits over the past 4 or 5 years, it was a risk taking him on. And we get to round one and he's not there.
That is true. And I think we all agreed at the time that it was a little bit more risky than other transactions in the off-season, no doubt.
But they knew that based on the decisions and pulling out last minute and number of things happening. But at the same, you got a guy with so much upscale potential and then wanting to come home, I'm pretty sure they did their due diligence, like you said, but everyone was aware of buyer beware kind of thing.
Hmm.
Yep. So he won't be there for round one. Dale Morris won't be either, but he might be there for round two with a ruptured ACL.
Now, take me through this, BJ. He's just going to let it heal like 18th century medicine.
Well, it depends. So
it's only
he's
a partial
just
going to
leave his leg in a splint.
Gene Seric, yeah, really?
For months.
Yeah, so have they released the details of... Is it clearly not a full tear?
No,
so
partial rupture.
Partial, yeah. So,
well, he had a partial tear and did it last year, but that was only a tear.
Yep.
This is a partial rupture, which is a little bit more significant. Well, he's going to let nature rub it with some
oil. And what's
oil,
have they given a time frame?
He hasn't given up this year.
Mid-year, they're saying. 12 weeks.
This is, I mean, he's a freak, but this is unique. No Rico. I'm not having the surgery.
Yeah, well, I don't know the deal. I know Gene Siracusa had one years ago where it was a partial tear in the preseason and let it heal naturally. And he was back within 12 weeks or something. 12
weeks. But rupture.
Well, Dale Morris did snap his arm in half and play 2 weeks later.
Look, it's a huge blow for the Bulldogs. Massive. Given we...
But I thought, when I heard the news, it's the synthetic graft... sprung to mind straight away.
It's gone out of vogue, hasn't it?
Yeah, hasn't it?
The Lars, was it called?
Lars,
that's right, yeah. But just in his position, potentially last year of footy and his age and
but you don't hear
quick
anyone
recovery and his genetics, he looks pretty pretty strong, and particularly in his legs, so he could probably be someone that could withstand it.
There might be a reason why they don't do it too often.
Yeah, well, yeah. They might have figured out it's
not that effective.
Yeah.
Correct. No, so injuries in the last week before round one, I mean, that just kills a club like Footscray.
It now, does. Can we let Scotty... you got to let AFLW, you've got to sort of... time to...
All I read was headlines about...
He preys on Daniel Huffer.
No, no, I like that he sprayed the competition. I don't give a rat's...
He's a heavy
What's
hitter.
Your go-to line?
Fat rats.
A fat rat's about the conference?
Fat rat's clacker.
Because you know you shouldn't be playing in the finals.
Why is that?
You're fully aware of that.
Why is that?
Because your record's horrendous compared to eight other teams in the competition.
Why would you say that? We're top of the table.
You and I
know. How could you sit there and say that when top of the table teams?
Because I look at win loss, and generally in a competition, the ones with the most wins play finals.
So you like change the rules halfway through? You're one of those.
No,
guys,
well, no, I just believe the rules were wrong, and you should forfeit your final.
Forfeit.
No, it's very good, Daniel. You were outstanding.
Just play to the rules.
Hanging on and play Fremantle. That's good. You don't play Adelaide. That's positive. At home. It's a great effort. I mean, your bonus that you're going to get in your contract that I'm aware of, I won't talk out loud about it, but Mark Lejudice and
let's take
paper
this to after 8 o'clock. We're going to get to Brett Deledio.
Oh,
we'll talk more about this a little bit later.
He's shutting you down like that question
I'm being
about the
hassled.
He goes into coach mode.
I'm being hassled
does,
out the back.
He's standing got
to get to Brett Deledio. He wants to talk to us.
Where's
We've got
your
40 on the weekend. My lanyard is now an arm patch.
What about how he brings in the coach headphones now rather than just the normal radio ones?
You idiots. Brett Deledio is not. He's a star. He's going to join us from the Giants. We go around the grounds of footy after this.